Good morning. Welcome to Asbury. My name is Craig Bowes. I'm going to be serving as the liturgist this morning. And I do have a few announcements I want to make, but before I do so, I just want to recognize that if we have any visitors here this morning, we are so thankful that you're joining us. And if you have any questions about membership, about Sunday school, or really anything, to please see Pastor Mary at the end of the service. And also join us for refreshments in the Wilson Activity Center, because we would love the opportunity to meet you. Now, we have collected over $35,000 towards our new van, which puts us over 50% of what we needed. So thank you, Asbury. Outside the sanctuary, you will see a display for the van fundraiser. What you'll need to do is look for the envelopes that you might see labeled 1 through 100, listing many of the ways that we can help the van. Grab an envelope, and the number on the envelope is the amount of money that you need to enclose in it. And you can bring that to the church office or place it in the offering plate during the service. Also, beginning in August, we'll begin to see change for change. You'll see containers around the church for you to put your spare change in and change in dollars in. Those funds will go towards our shared giving, which will help support many of the ministries around outside our church walls. Finally, I want you to go ahead and mark your calendars for Hog on the Hill, which will be Sunday, October 23rd. It will undoubtedly be a great event and fundraiser. At this time, I invite you all to pass the peace of Christ. Will you please stand and join me in the call to worship? May those who love your salvation say continually, "Great is the Lord." Let us make a joyful noise to God with songs of praise.
We praise you, O God. We acknowledge you to be the Lord.
Please remain standing for the hymn of praise, "Open My Eyes That I May See," on page 454. Will you please remain standing for the affirmation of faith? This can be found in your bulletin. Please join me in this. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and our salvation, he came down from heaven by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. The
third day he rose again, in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. Believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in the Holy Catholic Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Good morning. How are y'all this morning? Good. Okay. I need a volunteer. Oh, Rachel, you reached. Okay. I want you to look at that. Do you know what that is? What does it do? It changes pictures. Somebody else want to see? One more person you want to see? Turn this. Have y'all ever seen a kaleidoscope? Isn't that fun? What happens when you look at it, when you look inside, what happens? The picture what? Changes, doesn't it? It's like our life every day changes, doesn't it? It changes, every day changes, our schedule changes, papers change, knowledge change, everything changes. But what stays consistent with us? Whose love stays consistent?
God's love. God's love.
That's right. God's love for us never changes. And we talk about that, don't we? Do we think that God loves us only Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays? No, he loves us 365 days, 24/7. So as our life around us changes, you need to remember that God's love for us is constant and that that's not going to change. All right, Nathan's going to pray for us today.
Thank you, Jesus, for your love that never changes. We are so thankful that we can count on you to remain the same when everything around us is changing.
Gracious Spirit, dwell with me. I would gracious be. Help me now thy grace to see. I would be like thee. And with words that help and heal, my life would mine reveal. And with actions bold and meek, for Christ my Savior speak.
As we go to God in prayer, I invite you to look in your bulletin at the list of prayer requests, and please add the name Richard Blesch to your prayers as well. Will you pray with me? Lord, you are the giver of life. Our life, when it is centered and focused upon you, flourishes. It becomes enriched by the grace you pour each day into us. For you teach and model for how we are to respond to fear, anger, pain, grief, confusion, and loss. Give us the strength we need to call on you when we experience lows of life. May we give you the praise and worship you deserve at all times, for if we did not receive your love, we would be lost. A reality of life is that everyone at some point has experienced suffering. May we make it so that everyone experiences love when they face those moments. For you equip us to reach out to our neighbors to share in life. You engage with people. You teach us the vitality that comes from loving relationships in our life. Supply us with a mindset and eager heart to look for you and your Holy Spirit in our day. And now we pray the prayer our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. As we consider our tithes and offerings, we encourage you to drop off bottled water at the cooling centers around Little Rock. If you are unsure of where to take them, please bring them by the church and we will drop them off for you. Let us pray. Lord, may our whole lives be in tune with yours. Help us to strengthen our ability to do more good work in the world by your grace. May what we give be from our hearts as a sign of our commitment to you. Amen. Please remain standing and join us for the hymn of meditation, Be Thou My Vision, on page 451.
Thank you. Won't you please be seated? This morning I share with you from the book of Acts, the 26th chapter, verses 16 through 18, and then sharing with you the 27th verse from the 28th chapter. May the people of God be inspired, be comforted, perhaps challenged by this hearing and reading of God's holy word as we find it in the book of Acts, the 26th chapter, verses 16 through 18. And then the 27th verse of the 28th chapter. Jesus said to Paul, I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen of me and what I will show you. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. And from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sacrificed by faith in me. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they've closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn. And I would heal them. The word of God for the people of God. They hardly hear with their ears. They've closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and turn. And I would heal them. When my cousin died of Lou Gehrig's disease some 4 years ago at the tender young age of 58. I mourned his loss for many reasons. He was a wonderful cousin, but he'd also been our optometrist and our eye care doctor for as long as I could remember. And during his active practice, there came a point in my older daughter's life where she was complaining of not being able to see well, and so she wanted to go to my cousin and have an eye exam. It was only after his passing, and I was telling her about it, that she made a confession to me. She said, Mom, you know, back in the fifth grade when I went to go see him and did that eye test, she said, I flunked it on purpose. Because I wanted to wear glasses like my friends. This is the daughter who is raising a daughter. I'm going to enjoy this. You are right, Bob. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about vision. One commentary I saw says that there's at least 56 references to sight in the Bible. And with some 66 books in the Bible, that's almost very close to one reference per book in the Bible. But here, the Apostle Paul says in what is known as the love chapter, a wonderful passage that I think talks about, addresses, if you will, what I want to speak about today, having a lens of faith. Hear what the Apostle Paul says. Love is patient and kind. Love never ends. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then shall I understand fully, even as I have been fully understood. So faith, hope, love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Now we all see in a mirror dimly. It's hard to see the image when the mirror is in dim light. Things almost seem blurry. When I was a child and when my children were growing up, one of our favorite heroines, basically, was to read about Helen Keller and her amazing teacher, Ann Sullivan. So I was very interested when I saw the other day an excerpt of a letter that she had written back in 1924. And I'm going to read you a portion of this letter because it's just amazing to me. And as we remember that Helen Keller was not only blind, not only deaf, but mute. Here's the letter. Dear friends, I have the joy of being able to tell you, though deaf and blind, I spent a glorious hour last night listening over the radio to Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. She wrote this letter to the New York Symphony Orchestra. I do not mean to say that I heard the music in the sense that other people heard it. I do not know whether I can make you understand how it's possible for me to derive pleasure from the symphony. It was a great surprise to myself. I've been reading in my magazine for the blind of the happiness in which the radio was bringing to sightless everywhere. I was delighted to know that the blind had gained a new source of enjoyment, but I did not dream that I could have any part of that joy. Last night, when the family was listening to your wonderful rendering of the Immortal Symphony, someone suggested that I put my hand over the receiver and see if I could get any of the vibrations. He unscrewed the cap, and I lightly touched the sensitive diaphragm. What to my amazement, I discovered that I could feel not only the vibration, but also the impassioned rhythm, the magnificent surge of the music, the intertwined and intermingling vibrations from different instruments enchanted me. I could actually distinguish the cornets from the roll of the timpani, the deep-toned violas and violins. When the human voices began, I recognized them instantly as voices, and all of this made my heart leap. The women's voices seemed an embodiment of angelic voices rushing in a flood of beautiful harmony. As the voices and instruments burst forth together, there was a flow of heavenly vibration. Then it died away like the winds, ending in a delicate shower of sweet notes. I thanked God for your masterful talent and for the sense of God-given touch, along with my imagination, which brought me such musical pleasure as I have never experienced before. Thank you, Helen Keller. How blessed we are when we have sight, but when we are not able to see, how good is God that we are not limited to one sense, but that we have all kinds of other senses which can help overcompensate for any loss that we may have. Bob and Marilyn, you amaze me every Sunday. Your courage, your sensitivity, the way you navigate through this life beautifully, with humility, grace, and again, courage. Thank you for your witness to all of us every Sunday. And Ginger Robertson, when she's able to be here, she has been able to use the gift of touch to utilize a full manuscript of our worship service in Braille. We thank God so much for these extra senses. I think about my own mother in her last days. She had lost hearing due to the disease in one ear. Her vision had become very dim, but she still had a keen sense of smell, and she always recognized my perfume. She had a keen sense of touch still. And so I know that she knew I was present when I went to visit her, even though she was totally unable to communicate that to me. I could see a faint smile when I would enter the room and be near her. When the Apostle Paul experienced that blinding light on the road to Damascus, encountering our Lord, the Bible tells us he lost his sight for 3 days. I like to think that three is a very holy number, and the Lord Jesus did a holy miracle on Paul, on his heart, on his life. In faith and trembling, Paul asked Jesus, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And Jesus simply said, "Go into the city, and you will be told what to do." And so the two men that were accompanying Paul took him to the house of Judas, not the Judas, but another disciple named Judas. And while he was there, there was another follower and disciple of Jesus, Ananias, whom the Lord had instructed to baptize Paul and to restore his sight. From there, true to Jesus' words, Paul would encounter a life of suffering as he would preach Damascus, Jerusalem, that territory and beyond. And he would preach the power of the repentant heart in knowing Christ's grace, a miracle far greater than Paul's restoration of sight. And you and I know and have experienced that miracle. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. For I once was lost, but now I'm found. Oh, I was blind. Now I see. This same Paul who had experienced blindness, restoration of sight, greatest fulfillment in feeling the presence of the Lord Jesus, the presence of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul who had experienced all of these things, said very clearly in 2 Corinthians 5:7, "Yet we walk by faith and not by sight." This morning, in your own faith journey, ask yourself, because only you can answer this question, where is it in the course of your faith right now that you're hitting a blind spot? Where is it in your faith journey that you powerfully need the light of Christ to shine upon that area in your life and guide you out of the darkness? Sometimes as we go on our errands and drive through the streets of Little Rock, we may be blind to those who are homeless, those who are jobless, We may be blind to people who sit in committee meetings at work or at church, and they're quiet because they're suffering in silence about something of which we know nothing. Are we blind to those who are struggling with great personal loss and conflict in their family? I guarantee you there are people we are in church with today that are struggling deeply, and we are clueless. Even the pastors, very few, are cued in on what's going on. And I understand that. Sometimes, as we're healing and adjusting to things, we just need some privacy, some quiet. But how do we transition from those times and spaces of blindness into sight again? I think first, it is as simple as sincerely asking God to shine that light onto the darkness that we are experiencing. It's interesting as we survey our lives, what they tell others about what we focus upon and that which we don't. For instance, if Jesus were to walk into your house today, and he's not going to inspect how clean it is, but if he were to walk into your house today, what impression would he leave after having taken a virtual tour of your home? Would he find a Bible on your bedside stand that doesn't have dust on it, that's not used as a coaster? Would he take your iPhone or your phone and find that you'd recently looked up a scripture for some help on a Bible app? Would he see a recycling bin somewhere in your home because you care about his Father's creation? Would he see that you've got a pile of things in a bag that are about to go to a shelter or a food pantry? Jesus would no doubt find pictures, I know in our home he would, of our family members. He would no doubt find Tony's canoes and various other tools and toys. I don't have any tools and toys. But would he see a cross hanging somewhere in my home or yours, showing the world that we are a believer? Would he find a Bible out on the kitchen table with an upper room because we want to start our day off thinking of Jesus, having a devotional? What we find in our lives sheds light, or it doesn't, upon our darkness. We have the ability to alleviate some of the darkness. It's not just circumstances of the world that are making things dark. We do have some control and power, my friends, amen, through the lens of faith. You've got some decisions to make about work, about politics, social justice, family. Ask Jesus to lead you in the midst of your decision making so that you are confirmed that your decision is a spiritual one. Because I love what Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Without revelation from our God and principles, apart from God's word, our society is in moral chaos. For any area in our life, we are called as followers of Christ to live as Christ lived and act as Christ acted. Jesus would have us to put away the sword of weaponry, to put away the sword of ridicule and criticism, to put away the sword of inducing conflict rather than compassion, the sword of apathy, which is one of the most deadly swords. It's a tall order, but Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, "What? Are we blind too?" And Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains." Again, Jesus is so astute. He's telling those who are conscious of their sin that they can see again and receive the truth of his light, while those who are unaware of their need for repentance, content with the light they believe they have, will lose even that. So this day, what is Jesus calling you to do? And where is he leading you to go? One of my classmates wrote on Facebook something that I wanted to share with you today. I'm going to sum it up, not read it. She's a lovely, bless you. It's all right. She's a lovely African-American woman living in a suburb outside of Washington, D.C. And she basically said, "I choose to live today in a way that does not add to the hate and the darkness that this nation is experiencing now." She said, "So today, beginning today, I'm going to be mindful of being more compassionate and less critical. Today, I'm going to forgive the person that cuts in front of me in traffic. Today, I'm going to be kind to the waiter or waitress, even though they messed up the order or they're a little late. Today, I'm going to do all that I can to be mindful of being kind and not critical." She gave some other examples, but it touched my heart because she said, so apropos, she said, "Today I choose light, to add light, to be light in a world that is trying to let hate win." We're pretty intelligent. We feel we know what we are doing most of the time. But as we grow closer to Jesus, we are to mirror the image of Jesus, not dimly in a mirror, but crystal clear. It's a process, but we're to grow in that direction, my friends. It's so easy to let the other consume us, fill us, direct us in what we say, what we think, and how we react. But you and I have a power today greater than any of that. And it is the Holy Spirit, and he can and will fill you and me. He's waiting on the invitation. So may the Spirit fill us all today with all the power in which it was created. And may we allow that Spirit to drive us every day, no matter what's going on in the world. But every day, as we follow the one who called himself the light of the world. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So often we sing this next hymn around Christmas time, because it's one of the elements that we celebrate during Advent, that of peace. And I hope as you stand and sing this hymn that you will feel a peace just flood over your soul, and that you will allow that peace to permeate in you so that you can spread it out in this world. As always, if there are those here today who would like to unite with this church in any of the ways we receive members, if you'd like to come forward and profess Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you'd like to renew that profession, or if you'd like to come forward and pray, we invite you to do so as we stand and sing 431, Let There Be Peace on Earth. Was such a gift to worship with you today. Please receive this blessing. And now, God, you have given us the Prince of Peace. You have given us the light of the world. And you have given us the Holy Spirit. May we go forward now in the love of God, the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the communion and fellowship of his Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Thank you.